Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. The news are amazing. There's a bank run. There's some worries generated around banks in America. That is beautiful to hear for anyone who wishes a crash of the system as a whole. Of course, it's not going to crash finally. If the banks are in such trouble, they will eventually be handled by the state and given all those bonuses, those loans, so that they can recover. So I'm not counting here for a full end to human civilization, but those events are extremely good for Bitcoin. They are extremely good to get us started on the next bull run. It's possible that Bitcoin will fall alongside the crash of the financial sector. It's possible that it will follow because it's been correlated to the stock market for so long. But I think eventually in the takeoff from those events, we might finally have the decorrelation that I'm looking for. Bitcoin rising and the rest, not sure. So we'll see what happens. Or another hypothesis is that Bitcoin will start rising right now as the rest crashes and the flows of capital leave these other places. And people realize the only thing that I can know I own is Bitcoin. Total Grimm says there's a lot of fine print involved in any government guarantee of your bank balances. Absolutely. Adair says just in time for my tax return to help me buy the dip. Yeah, it might give us a very good opportunity to buy into Bitcoin, because at 16,000, I told people it's a good moment to buy, but it may go down further than 16,000. I think that 16,000 is pretty high. You know, I would have liked to see 10K and be able to buy some Bitcoins at 10K, but we'll see whatever happens. I think the news are great, and Jerome Powell has become the stocks bay. He is sprinkling monetary policy to adjust the market to its will, to his will. Here you can see him sprinkling down some stocks market so that he can purchase them at the bottom. What a man, Jerome Powell, always there to make cuisine, to make the cuisine of the stock market more exciting, more visual. God, I'm glad to be gone to Odyssey, because YouTube has announced that they were going after creators that use harsh language, slurs, profanity, and now they're walking back on their initial rules, but it's not a total walk back. They say, although the new relaxed rules don't revert these changes, YouTube will allow creators to be eligible for limited ads if they use strong profanity within the first few seconds of a video. So that's not much of a change there, because limited ad is the yellow label, and the yellow label gives you no ad, basically. It's you really need the corporations that buy these ads to click on, I want my ads to be shown everywhere. And so YouTube keeps hitting on the creativity of its people, its creators, and I'm so glad to be gone. Bank run happening in the US. Wells Fargo is also not allowing people to withdraw their funds, and people are missing money out of their accounts. $42 billion withdrawn from the Silicon Valley Bank yesterday, close to 25% of the total. Anyone have an estimate of tangible assets versus deposits yesterday? There has been a order taking possession of property and business in the state of California. There was this gigantic bank, Silicon Valley Bank, which some big companies have their money there, including Roku. Roku has about $500 million stuck in there, from my understanding. I mean, is it even $500 million or is it in the billions? Anyways, they have a massive amount of money stuck in there, and it represents 25% of their total cash that they have available. by initiating withdrawals of $42 billion in deposit from the bank on March 9, causing a run on the bank. As of the close of business on March 9, the bank had a negative cash balance of approximately $958 million, despite attempts from the bank with the assistance of regulators to transfer collateral from various sources. The bank did not meet its cash letter with the Federal Reserve, has caused the bank to be incapable of paying its obligations as they come due, and the bank is now insolvent. An absolute crash and a takeover by the government of that bank, and people that made people nervous. First, on the stock of this bank, of course, it has dropped from $75 to $40, including two halts. Well, one halting moment here. So a halt happens when the price varies too quick and the stock market stops to function. Go away says, why the bank run? I don't know. Maybe someone on the inside had some information that, oh my God, we're in trouble. Which bank? Well, it started with the Silicon Valley Bank. But then look at this. Four other banks are paying the price for it, losing 30 to 42% of their values on the stock market within a day, really. PacWest Bancorp, Western Alliance Bancorp, First Republic Bank, Signature Bank. So a bunch of banks are in trouble. It's been announced on CNBC that oops, sorry. Sorry, I thought I had shifted to this screen, but I had shifted to the black screen. Like this. It's not an F. It's just that I clicked on the wrong setup on my Streamlabs. So Silicon Valley Bank is shut down by regulators in biggest bank failure since global financial crisis. The FDIC said in the announcement that insured depositors will have access to their deposits no later than Monday morning. But still, the question becomes, will they be solvent to the point of honoring everyone's deposit? SVB's branch offices will also reopen at that time under the control of the regulator. So no more private running of this bank. It will be run by the FDIC. The FDIC standard insurance covers up to $250,000 per depositor per bank for each account ownership category. So that would mean that the little people with little amounts will be okay because at worst they will be insured. But someone like Roku who has $500 million in there, they will not be insured for it. So that is the situation we're faced with. The financial regulators have closed Silicon Valley Bank and taken control of its deposits. A key player in the tech and venture capital community leaves companies and wealthy individuals largely unsure of what will happen to their money. I don't even know if they had small clients, small depositors. Because they were a bank of, you know, the whole milieu of Silicon Valley, tech startups, that kind of stuff. Mulder says, hey, Jeff, what kind of cell will never replicate? A neuron, certain types of neuron will never replicate. They are born. Oh, and he says an incel. Okay, your little joke. Okay. Tuttle Grimm says, apparently less than 2.5% of their customers had less than $250,000. That sucks because you have this whole system of insurance, but it effectively doesn't apply to this kind of bank. And so Yeah, there could be repercussions across the market David Sachs is getting nervous. Where is Powell? Where is Yellen? Stop this crisis now. Announce that all depositors will be safe. Place SVB with a top four bank. Do this before Monday open or there will be contagion and the crisis will spread. Oh my God, people are getting nervous. I love it. Jack Posobiec was saying, Wells Fargo customers report missing direct deposits amid technical issue. So a lot of Wells Fargo, a lot of the customers became worried. And Wells Fargo is telling its customers, this is just a technical issue. The supposed glitch comes the same day that Silicon Valley Bank was closed and seized by the FDIC. Meanwhile, Kristi Noem is vetoing a bill that would have, that she found was too tendentious toward allowing a federal government to adopt the central bank digital currency. She says, I vetoed HB 1193. This bill adopts a definition of money to specifically exclude crypto like Bitcoin, and it opens the door to the risk that the federal government could adopt a central bank digital currency. South Dakota will always stand for economic freedom. This is so intense. Like, look at this. She's stamping the veto with a massive rod there. This is absolutely based. Kristi Noem, I believe in South Dakota. South Dakota is one of the last truly Republican state. I admire South Dakota so much. If there was a place in America where I have to go there, it would have to be South Dakota, but I'm in Canada. Total Grimm says gold and silver had a nice bounce. Yeah, I would have expected maybe a bigger bounce on Bitcoin. Bitcoin had a small little bounce up today. So I'm thinking perhaps Bitcoin will crash with the rest. If next week this whole bank run becomes so worrying that it spreads across various financial markets, we may be with a couple of weeks where Bitcoin will be lower price, which would be great. I mean, it would give a point of entry for much more people to join in this bull run. Aquanote says, are the elite vigilant about draining wealth because they don't want their supply of cheap labor disrupted? It's a question, you know. Why did the boomer generation get houses in the way that the next generations after didn't get? And you can think that perhaps the competition for labor back then was not violent enough and was not leaving much options to corporations other than create a satisfactory environment for the family. It may have been the only way to function back then. And with modernity, of course, we had genetic replacement, we had immigration, we have basically a system that develops so that minimal salary or the salary that most people get is not enough anymore to fund a family lifestyle. Perhaps that is because people are showing up able to sustain themselves and offering their labor at lower price, and it lowers the overall price. I don't think that today the elite is worried about lacking people. I don't think that the elite is worried at all about not giving enough money to people so that they get families. John Drake says, at some point, BTC and precious metals will be the only place to go. Can't wait. Absolutely. A news that has saddened me a lot. You'll remember Sherlock Genomes, the guy who ended up being at the center of my hashtag WeinsteinGate video. The guy who appears to have been plagiarized by Brett Weinstein has been the subject of harassment and doxing attempts. And he's been on the internet for years talking about genetics. And 1 month after I talk about him in my video and I say, hey, Brett Weinstein plagiarized this guy. And I spoke to him in DM and he told me, thank you for dealing with this. You know, thank you for pushing this story. It's important to me. Now he disappeared from the internet because he's been targeted, harassed by stalkers and creeps. He says his last post on Twitter before he deleted his Twitter account, au revoir, I cannot continue to allow stalkers and creeps into my life. My work is finished for now. You've all been fantastic. The tide has turned. Truth will win. I believe that his statements here are in relation to his involvement with the lab leak hypothesis, and the genetic research that he was publishing on his Twitter account was often revolving around the idea that Omicron, SARS-CoV-2 in general, has special genetic features that make it likely a lab leak. But it raises the question, why would this guy start being harassed? It doesn't seem like it's a nice moment to harass this guy for the left in relation to his work on the lab leak, because the lab leak idea is getting regularized, it's getting normalized. You know, I don't think that agents of the deep state would go after someone for having the hypothesis of a lab leak. And so I'm starting to wonder, has he been increasingly harassed and doxxed because of my video? Has he been targeted because some supporters of Brett Weinstein would go after him because they would be frustrated at the fact that I've accused Brett Weinstein of plagiarism of him? That must be one of the hypotheses we study. So I said Pathogenetics, who was featured in my Brett plagiarism video, has gotten too much harassment IRL and attempts at doxing him, and he wished to remain anonymous. He has now deleted his Twitter account to recover his private life. Kurt Doolittle was telling me, JF, context, why? And I said, it's all I know. He disappeared from the internet after years of commentary on genetics. All of this 1 month after I published a video showing he had been plagiarized by Brett Weinstein. And Kurt Doolittle answers, wow, thank you. And someone else was raising the hypothesis I was talking about. He says, treat doxing the way you would examine any infection. It has causal features. It has signatures. It has indicators of intensity. You just might find a pattern and an origin. I hope that this is not a result of the video that I've published. I hope that those are not Brett fans trying to cause trouble to anyone who annoys Brett or who goes against Brett in an intellectual debate. I'm extremely worried. Real Dita Sid says, Mossad, never go after the Weinstein boys. I mean, the thing is, When Brett irresponsibly goes on his show and starts associating all of my crowd or parts of my crowd in an unspecified attack that, oh, these guys are Nazis, you're going to have a bunch of loose heads in society that will make it their mission to attack the Nazis. That's why it's extremely irresponsible for Brett Weinstein to have started these personal attacks and these guilt by association attacks. They are unspecified attacks. It's like, oh yeah, they're Nazis. Well, now you got a couple of your Antifa goons who are going after a man whose only crime is to have been plagiarized. That is something I would invite Brett Weinstein to think about. Ruffman says, Jeff, I quit studying computer science at college because there were no women in class, and now I study law instead. Unbelievable, it is the best decision I made. I met an Ashley on my first day in law school, and I made a feminist angry after I dispelled the myth of oppression of women, the gender wage gap. Okay. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, for what it's worth, I have not been harassed by Brett fans, and I have been very annoying towards Brett and his wife. Well, you never know, you know, that they may have not paid attention to your little tweets, but they may have paid attention to my video. In any case, that's why it's irresponsible to throw political accusations of that kind against crowds and groups in unspecified ways. It's because you may be directing forms of hate that you lose control of. That is why it's... Speaker's Corner says the notion of Brett fans is ridiculous. I mean, people in the circles, okay? I want to talk about a subject that I titled the show tonight with, the ADMs. They live among us. You may not recognize them on the streets as they pass beside you. In fact, you may be one of them. The ADMs, the alive due to modernity. This is another genius concept that came from Data Hazard, who I made my show yesterday about this guy. But somehow the Twitter algorithm probably detected that, hey, JF likes this guy. And so the Twitter algorithm started showing me old tweets of him, including a tweet from January, 1 month ago, 2 months ago. And he talks about the Homo sapiens and the descendants and their descendants and the part of the U.S. population that they make. And look at this. He calculated what he calls the percentage of living U.S. population that is alive due to modernity. So here's the basis for his calculation. He looks at child mortality in the 1800s, and he says, well, okay, so these children would die in a normal world like the 1800s. But eventually, they came not to die. Eventually, we have solved a large amount of the child mortality issues with medical procedures, with cleanliness, education, nutrition, all that stuff together. Leads a bunch of people who would have otherwise died. They are alive today. They are alive due to modernity. And some random bloke says, spiteful mutants. That is exactly the concept of spiteful mutants, but it is so much better framed, so much better calculated. Like, this is what I had on the tip of my tongue when I was criticizing Edward Dutton. It has nothing to do with mutations, so don't call it mutations. It is a bunch of people who, in the environment of modernity, are doing well and they are evolutionarily selected for. Because if you do these calculations, and of course it's based on a series of assumptions, but these assumptions might be a little off, but they can't be totally off. They can't be totally wrong to the point where these calculations have no meaning. And so very interesting, the percentage of people who are alive due to modernity, according to the 1800s child mortality rate as a baseline. So they would have started a very small percentage of the population, 0.16%, 1%, 2%, 5%. And in 1860, they would have been 5% of the population. In 1900s, they would be 16% of the population. In 1940, they would be 27% of the population. And in 1965, they would have attained 32% of the population. Fascinating. And then you can calculate the overall share of the second generation ADMs, the third generation ADMs, the percentage of ADMs with an ADM parent, etc. So he makes all these calculations and he ends up concluding, he says something I really liked. It's a weird scale. The Y scale is a log scale. So it details a lot in the low. And then as you get higher, it compresses and compresses more. That's a log scale. It's sometimes used for evolutionary stuff, for things that grow a lot. So Data Hazard says a very interesting thing. He says, so before you go blaming Seed Oz or whatever health meme starts going around next week for all your mental, physical, and spiritual problems, ask yourself, how many Homo sapiens are in my family tree, and is one of them me? Are you an ADM? A Homo sapiens would be a postmodern sapiens. Are you one of the people who got saved when they shouldn't have had been saved? Very interesting. I'll be back in 10 seconds. Give me some time here. All right, so some emergencies in the house. Valet says, zero ADMs in my family. How would you know? How would you know? It's very hard to know. Would you have been alive under the circumstances of the 1800s? Would you have been one of the brothers who died before 5 years old? Some random bloke says, this explains Africa population. Up until recently, it was tiny. Now it will explode to 4.5 billion by 2100. Yeah, that's a very worrying thing because I think we are sustaining unsustainable levels of population with humanitarian aid. And so it would be nice to see from Data Hazard at Fentazil, would he do these calculations for Africa, and what would it reveal about the policies of Western nations to be supporting lifestyles that are unsupportable otherwise. Some random bloke has sent a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, did you hear Dr. Roger Pearson, who started Mankind Quarterly, passed away age 95? No, I didn't know much about him. Mankind Quarterly, I've heard about it. Mankind Quarterly was first published from Edinburgh in the United Kingdom in the year 1961. Publication was transferred to the US in 1979. A funding from segregationists in its history. Okay, interesting. I didn't know about this man at all. I had heard about the journal. So no, I didn't know about him. Good to know. Thanks for letting me know. Philosoraptor says, what's a better shitcoin with a brighter future, HEX or LBC? Those are very hard to evaluate. Personally, I have big trust in both. But then the question is, do you have a nice price point to enter on both? And which is the best price point to enter? From my perspective, HEX has been stable in the interest for it, and it's not been in a downtime. It's been in a down price, of course, as the bear market started. But other than this, I don't see HEX in a particularly difficult situation right now. Whereas LBC has had the big overring effect of the SEC lawsuit and the uncertainty around the future of the currency as a consequence, and the denial of this currency's access to much markets, the currency being unavailable on many of the exchanges. So if I think what is the best investment from which there is contrast between now and a couple of years from now, I see HEX having very good potential, but I see LBC having a potential for much more massive rise. That is my guess, but this potential meteoric rise relies on the limited emission of new LBCs and the fact that the uncertainty around LBC must resolve. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, have you ever bought Hex with cash and not via airdrop? I never benefited any airdrop. I have bought Hex with ETH. If you look at my show, if you find back my show where I've been inviting Richard Hart on the show, I let him do his shtick and he convinced me. So I bought X at the same time at which my audience could have bought it, which was a couple of days after Richard came to the show. I thought, hey, that's a good, that's a nice currency. I didn't put much. I put a ridiculously small amount of money in it. And it has ridiculously increased since then. It may be my best investment in life. It is insane. I mean, at the height of X, I had basically transformed $40 into $8,000. That is just how big of a profit I've done on this trade. But yeah, that doesn't mean you'll get this profit going in now. But the price of X is extremely low, in my view. I mean, given how it's been performing, there's a chance it will perform again at the levels we've seen. Aquanote says, as a layman who has only read like 3 books on evolutionary biology, I always felt Dutton's description of spiteful mutants was cringy and insufficiently robust. I'm grateful there are people like JF who push back against imprecisely defined concepts. Absolutely. Aquanode says, Valet, JF just laid out how to use the word mutants in Dutton's treatment is misleading. Yes, I have said this, and I am now satisfied that Data Hazard came with the right way to term this phenomenon. It is people who are alive due to modernity. It's such a descriptive term. It's so clear what it means. They are alive due to modernity. They wouldn't be alive otherwise. They are. And so he was starting this whole tweet thread by saying, in 1800, about 46% of U.S. children died before 5 years old. By 1950, advances in sanitation, medicine, nutrition brought it down to about 4%, and now below 1%. What are the genetic, medical, social, and spiritual implications of this unnaturally selected group of postmodern humans? Look at this child mortality rate. Down, 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 down. Looks like a crashing bank. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, do you think that when Richard Hart gets arrested for operating a Ponzi, it will just go to zero the next day? That's an interesting possibility. You know, Richard has been including, you know, kind of original and creative legal warnings as part of his way of promoting his airdrops. For example, he would say, the sacrifice is not something you should expect anything in return. The sacrifice phase where you send ETH to that address is merely a... what did he say? He said, oh, it's free speech. You are making an act of speech to show that you trust. And, you know, the thing is, fairness of the process of emission is an important aspect. It's an important aspect of whether you will get in legal troubles for starting a cryptocurrency. And you have to give it to Richard. You know, he didn't attribute himself hexes. He purchased them with a movement of ETH from one wallet to the other. Now, here's the catch. Here's the catch. Richard Hart paid himself. Richard Hart sent ETH from himself to himself. How does that give him the right to have Hex? When I had to pay ETH that I sent to him, he's only the winner in this circle. Now, that I don't care. It's not a claim that frustrates me. I decided to do it. But a legal entity could perceive something unfair happening there. I mean, a massive, massive unfairness numbering in the billions of dollars. Now, will this attract their attention or will they not care about it? And is Richard Hart rich enough ultimately to be in a jurisdiction where they can't annoy him? That is the question. My understanding is he went to the UK. That's a bad idea. The UK can go after him. The UK is part of the whole empire, and I would have gone to something like an island somewhere unpopulated with a very, very small government of 60 people, basically. Stephen Robinson says, Hex was given for free to all BTC holders at its beginning. Well, that is not enough. There were 10,000 X given to someone who could prove that they owned a BTC wallet of a legacy time. That is one thing. But Richard Hart didn't get 10,000 X. Richard Hart got 100 billion, billion, billion X. That is not the same thing. Not the same thing. Of course, I'm not saying this as a precise number, but he got a massive amount of Hex because he paid himself ETH. That's my understanding from the wallet movements. If I'm wrong on this, correct me. But that looks like a form of fraudulent participation to an emission process where the payer is paying himself and therefore is not truly paying. And therefore, the emission process is not fair. Stephen Robinson says, yet he does not admit this. And here you have the problem. If someone was to start a legal case, and to be clear, I'm not making these claims because I hate Richard Hart or want him to fail or want him to be sued. I want Hex to be successful because I have some of it. And I want his project of a parallel chain that would have lower cost. I want all of this to work. But I'm doing this just from an intellectual analytic perspective. We need to understand for future projects what is legal and what is not legal. This move could eventually bring the attention of... and then Stephen Robinson, yes, you know, he may have trapped the ETH in wallets that may not ever move. He may not need them. He may keep it secret that it's his. You know, there's something about wallets, and it's that they don't officially belong to anyone. If Richard doesn't or can make the argument that he doesn't have the keys to this wallet, then who knows? Stephen Robinson says there is an origin address that is not publicly addressed to an individual. Exactly. So I didn't follow the developments of these addresses, but are all of the coins in there just stuck there? Have they moved since then? I have no idea. If they were to move, and if it could be proven by government that they moved in the interest of Richard Hart, he might be in trouble. Stephen Robinson says, the SEC is saying that everything is a security. This is why the XRP case is so interesting. Yeah, that is an issue. Have we reached peak idiocracy yet? We should all be absolutely horrified by what has happened to our society. Everywhere you look, people seem to be going completely and utterly nuts. Once upon a time, the crazy people were a very small segment of the population that could easily be ignored, but we have now truly become a raging idiocracy. Snoopster was saying, is there a translation for this? Because I have no idea what Biden is saying. Let's see what the video...
By the way, You docs are good. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female. By the way, you docs are good. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female.
By the way, your doxes are good for having the angels of nurses, male and female. Maybe he's saying something about God being good for making the nurses female so that they could have this kind of sexy appearance. And I know that Joe Biden very often mentions being having this experience of a nurse who was whispering in his ear and it was giving him some ASMR type of sexual experience. He now thanks God probably for having the idea of making nurses females instead of males. Go away, says JF. People haven't changed. It's just they used to be programmed by the TV. Now they are programmed by the internet. So they are unhinged, of course. I don't know if the internet had any stupidifying effect onto people. To the contrary, I would argue that there's much more diversity, freedom of thought in our time than there was in my parents' time with the TV. The TV was a very, you know, single axis of ideology, of facts, of determinations. Eric says, you ducks are good, but there are angels in heaven. They are nurses, male and female. Easy to understand. Come on, man. Well, even that, there are angels in heaven. They are nurses, male and female. What is male and female coming to do in that sentence? I don't understand it. Anyways, Kamala Harris, I went home one day and I said, why are conservatives bad, mommy?
In fact, I'm going to share with you a very simple story, which is that I went home one day and I said, well, why are conservatives bad, mommy? Because I thought we were supposed to conserve things. I couldn't reconcile it. Now I can.
That is worrying. So she understood that we must not conserve. We must not conserve the existence of white people. What is it that she's saying here? Fractal Man sends a super chat. He says, it is being predicted that many Silicon Valley startups will be unable to make payroll due to the closing of SVB. How do you think the young and newly unemployed tech workers will react? That will be beautiful because they don't deserve these positions. They are getting way overpaid on money that has not even been obtained by a process of free markets. It's been obtained by just people being too greedy on the idea of Silicon Valley and thinking, well, anything Silicon Valley will work. And so they get massive amounts of money to make experiments. It doesn't work. There's a bunch of leftists coming in, draining it all. And I can't wait to see these people on the streets because life is unsustainable in these cities. It's only sustainable because there are capital flows of so many investors dreaming. We need to redo what Amazon has done. We need to find the next. But the next isn't coming. The industry is saturated, and ultimately it's all overrated. Go away, says JF. Everyone will look like an idiot to you if their worldview is far enough away from yours. The internet has pushed people's worldview into a wider space and thus more distance between them. That's why people perceive more stupidity relative to the past. That may be true, but you wouldn't be talking about true stupidity then. You would be talking about ideological distance. That may be true. So apparently the claims that the Nord Stream bombing was done by a group that is favorable to Ukraine, And when I saw this, I thought, well, a group favorable to Ukraine, that's the U.S. government you're talking about. But Ryan Dawson was laughing his ass off because in a German report, comedy of the day from German media, ZDF claiming passports have been found pointing to a pro-Ukrainian group destroying Nord Stream, presumably in perfect condition, floating in the Baltic Sea in an airtight container, just like 9/11, these people have no imagination. So basically, that's the basis on which they claim a pro-Ukraine group was at the heart of this bombing. They found some passports. Valet says they left their passports on the seafloor. I mean, isn't it the first thing you don't do? Like if you're a terrorist, I don't know. If you're an agent of any government doing evil stuff or bombings, the first thing you would want to do is to not have an identity. You should be just a human without paper. So worst case scenario, if you get caught, you're not in trouble. But all of these terrorists, they always carry their passports. It's amazing. What else do we have? A Mexican... This one is funny. I saw it yesterday, right after the show. Mexican cartel apologizes in letter for kidnapping and murder of Americans and turns in the members responsible. The Gulf cartel claimed in a letter to respect the life and well-being of the innocent. These guys were delivered by the Mexican cartel on the floor, and there was a letter on the truck that says, yeah, you know, we're sorry, these guys were members of our organization, but they acted totally alone. They went on their own and they started kidnapping Americans and killed them. And so we're sorry, we don't believe in what they've said here. So we're delivering them to you. Those are the killers you've been looking for. Grape Skoda says the cartel have more ethics than the U.S. government. I didn't know this was possible. The cartel just got disgusted. It's like, hey, this is not how we do. We do use intimidation and violence, but in certain circumstances... So somehow they have some kind of behavioral code, like Dexter. They use violence, but when it is justified for their business. Aquanote says, no, those narcos were almost certainly forced by the U.S. intelligence agencies to do that in order to not be deemed a terrorist organization in response to the killing of Americans. Yeah, that might be it. That might be that they... Things got heated, they started feeling, oh my god, they're going to go after the whole organization, and so they dropped these guys under the bus. Who knows, these guys may be even they may not be responsible for the killings. Who knows? It's not like the cartel has due process, right? I'm sure these guys didn't get a fair trial in a cartel hearing, so... I don't know what will come out of this. They may just be scapegoats for something that went wrong or something that didn't go the way it was planned. Disclose.tv says Iran, Saudi Arabia agree to resume diplomatic ties and reopen embassies within 2 months after negotiations with China. Okay. There is a multipolar world developing, that is a good thing, against America. I want to do an update about Bitcoin ordinals. I've been talking about this. I've been extremely enthusiastic about the technology. So the idea that you can write forever on the Bitcoin blockchain some message. And I've been working very hard today on my message to future humans about genetic editing. It's starting to look good. I have also recruited Fadam, who is one of our viewers. He has accepted to review the text when I'm done with it. I want absolute privacy because I don't want this text to leak before it's printed on the blockchain because I wouldn't want someone else to mint earlier forms of that text. So yes, I'll be continuing this. I would say I'm 80% of the way through the writing. So I'm getting to write the conclusion and last few words. But I wanted to talk about a new technology concerning this because up to now I've been trading ordinals and inscribing them using gamma.io, but the price was relatively high at $7 per ordinal. And the wallets that I used was Sparrow. Sparrow is a wallet that happens to be able to handle ordinals pretty well because it has all sorts of features that ensure that you won't trade the one Satoshi that is associated with NFT. But there is a much better technology that has emerged that has been shared with me today, Unisat Wallet. So a wallet that has been specifically designed to transfer ordinals to own the NFTs of the Bitcoin blockchain into a wallet. So it seems to be the path to take going forward. On top of it, they charge much less. So here you can have a 100 bytes inscription for $2.63, whereas all of the competitors are $6 or $7. So if you are looking, this was from DK Shadow. He shared it on Discord. If you're looking for a cheaper option for Bitcoin ordinals, it seems to be the way to go right now. It seems that they just don't add, you know, a basic fee above everything. So you get to pay really the cost of your transfer. That is much better. DK Shadow says, wish they launch sooner. And I hope that their wallet gets better because their wallet is a Chrome extension. It only offers the option of having a wallet with 12 seed words. I would like to see a 24 seed words wallet. Personally, I experience anxiety at the idea that someone could one day guess my 12 seed words. I know it's irrational. I know you will have people doing the math and saying, no, it's impossible, JF. I like a double layer of protection because I hold my Bitcoin ordinals dearly, close to my heart. Some people are criticizing Chrome. They don't want it on Chrome. Well, for now, that's what it is. Although it may be a good option to just benefit from the lower fees and transfer them to your Sparrow wallet. That seems like an interesting path to take. DK Shadow says if they had launched sooner, he could have saved money because DK Shadow, you know, is out there like those web tycoons of 1995, you know, were reserving all the names of domains. DK Shadow is out there reserving Sat's names using Bitcoin ordinals. And what a dirty player is he? He has reserved Sargon.sats. Oh my god, let's hope that one day we can leverage Sargon. It's like, Sargon, do you want that .sats address, Sargon? You're gonna have to tweet something about race. You're gonna have to go out there and indicate to your Twitter followers that you don't believe anymore in individual rights. You believe in collective rights. DK Shadow, you know, taking so many names. But yeah, at $7, you know, you want to be careful because there's a lot of names that you will end up consuming. They will just take your money and no one will ever be interested in that name. Valet says, give Sargon a good deal, he's all right. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, DK Shadow doesn't seem to me like an exploiter of these things. I think he is more like a white hat early reserver. That's the mood that I feel from him. He seems like a white hat man of justice who's taking the Sargon sats just to make sure that someone else doesn't take it to exploit it. Ofsted boss warns that regulator is powerless to sanction schools teaching children as young as 12 about gender unicorns and anal sex after investigation into age-inappropriate sex ed classes. And Mark Collett was saying on Telegram, it's amazing that government regulators are completely powerless to prevent sexually charged material being given to children. I wonder how quickly they would be able to act if a teacher correctly stated that men can't become women. It's interesting how quick they are at acting when it goes against what the system wants us to believe. But when it goes against reproduction and it goes against heterosexuality, they can't do it. They can't help it. It has to stay there. Philosoraptor says, JF, have you seen Deadwood? I really enjoyed it. What is Deadwood? Deadwood, is it a movie? Is it a teleseries? Teleseries, 2004, 2006. Deadwood, a show set in the late 1800s revolving around the characters of Deadwood, South Dakota, a town of deep corruption and crime. I won't watch it. By the way, there was this other, you know what, the guy who's playing the cowboy guy? There's this other Western, I tried starting it. You know the guy who plays the cowboy in The Big Lebowski? He's an actor in a recent one. And I watched 10 minutes and I was unable to continue. It's like so first degree, bro. You're trying to get me to watch a first degree Western? Bro, I am in the meta Western. I have gone through Westerns. I have seen Cowboys versus Aliens. I am at the other level. I only tolerate meta Westerns. Something like Westworld. That is something. Now, if your Western world is not embedded into a fictitious universe, into a supercomputer that generates all possible iterations, and somehow from this process of iteration emerges a fictitious virtual world where cowboys happen to exist, you're not interesting to me. I can't watch your first degree Western. Minimal degree that I will watch a Western at is meta-Western. Aquanote says, Hollywood only produces material that hates our people. It does. Someone was challenging someone else to explain is there a difference between men and women? Yeah.
Trans women should be legally treated as women. Tell me why you're strongly disagreeing.
Because I'm a molecular geneticist.
Well, okay, so tell me what that, because I'm not a, I count on my fingers. I know nothing about genes.
Being male or being female is a developmental process. You can't go backwards. Okay. So you can't change your sex. Like, you cannot do that. And the truth is, that currently in California prisons and prisons in other parts of the country, women are getting impregnated by other women. And
is this woman JF pilled? Holy shit. Those are good arguments, and those are arguments I've done before. Beautiful to see it well expressed like this. She's absolutely right. You can't go backward because the moment of birth, you have a stack of events that happened, and each event in that stack is driven toward the male or the female direction, which will be ultimately determined by the chromosomes. You cannot stop halfway through and say, oh, suddenly I'm on the other side, and you have to ignore the whole developmental process I've gone through. You've gone through the male developmental process, so you will have male muscles, male performance, on various indicators. Valette says she's in shock that she has to explain this to a crowd of people with a microphone thrust in her face.
There's just no way. I mean, this is against the UN. After World War II, there was like a, I don't remember what body came up with this statue, but it was against, I believe it was the Hague. You cannot house female prisoners with male prisoners because they get raped. And that's happening today. And it's not in the news. It's not in the comments.
She's absolutely right. What a solid woman. I love this this woman. She is laying it out perfectly. 100% grade by Papa JF here. Putin congratulates Xi on securing unprecedented third term, hails strategic cooperation against the multipolar world. The opponents to America are celebrating, they are planning the future without us, and I hope they continue. I hope they are successful. A horrible song that shows just the state of how modern women are participating to the hate against white people. Although I'm not sure if she's white or is she Jewish, I don't know. But she is certainly hateful, and that is absolutely horrible.
We're all having the uncomfortable conversations. We're all acknowledging our privileges and biases. I'll admit I'm still racist a little bit, and it's not even implicit, 'cause I'll still say it. I think white babies are the ugliest babies. Yeah, I said what I said. Why do they almost always look like the poor potato? They look like Voldemort, crossed with a Shih Tzu, crossed with a 13th century depiction of white baby Jesus. Historically inaccurate because Jesus was not white, but also...
Oh my God, she even goes for the meme, Jesus was not white.
Kind of helpful, at least now we kind of know what 13th century white babies look like. Regardless, white babies are the ugliest babies.
Absolutely disgusting. And she's investing a lot of lyrical effort and a lot of you know, melodic developments into making her case. But ultimately, she is repeating what culture currently, unfortunately, wants her to repeat. Aquanote says, female privilege is that you can say horrible shit like this and get away with it. Change the sex of this woman, change the race of these babies, and the modern regime would nuke it from orbit. Absolutely. I mean, they would catch a white guy saying these things, and they would say, oh, well, he's white, let's get him... Let's get him cut for hate speech and let's still ban him from social media. But of course, female privilege, of course, extremely prevalent. 60% of restaurants struggling to find enough employees 3 years after COVID led to a national shutdown of restaurants. The $900 billion U.S. food service industry is struggling to find enough workers despite boosting pay and benefits. In fact, over 60% of establishments say they are understaffed. Not surprising. It's been a race to the bottom anyways. This whole work for that kind of corporation at minimal salary. So at some point, the system has to fight back. And on top of it, at this point, they are not just competing with higher salaried position from other corporations. They are competing with social welfare. And I suspect that when social welfare gets to be too generous, people are not interested at working for the same amount of money in the restaurant industry. John Drake says, brick and mortar is dying quickly. Yeah, why do people need restaurants anymore anyways? Because The whole idea of restaurants was that there was so much physical activity in the town that people would accidentally need a moment to eat and they would go to McDonald's and the cheapest would attract people. But people don't need to get out anymore. So the life of the city as a physical entity is disappearing. Philosoraptor says, I think you would love Deadwood. It features anarchism like no other show. It is beautifully written with the language from the period and they build an entire town for the show. Beautifully detailed with HBO budget. Watch the first episode if you have an hour. Okay, I might give it a try. Is that the actor from Machete that I see there? Is that the Machete actor? Not sure. I might give it a try tonight if I have if I have some time. Steven Robinson says I make the best burger I ever had. Okay, no, it's not the Machete actor, but I love this guy. I love the Machete. Trailer. What, did this ever become a movie? I think I may have watched the movie Machete, but I think the movie wasn't as exciting as the trailer, right? Yeah, it was made into a movie after being set up and betrayed by the man who hired him to assassinate a Texas senator. An ex-federal launches a brutal rampage of revenge against his former boss. I think it was just so exciting when they published this trailer and it turned out to be, as a movie, it was poorly developed. It was poorly leading. Philosoraptor says, Jeff, if you don't like it, I will donate 200 LBC. I will donate you 1 million LBC to leave me alone with your donations. LBC, bro, LBC. What is the worth of LBC right now? LBC credits value 1 cent. An LBC is worth 1 cent. You will donate me 200 cents. You will donate me $2. It won't matter, you know, just the time that I lose downloading it and clicking on play will be worth more than your donation. Original tweet by Astro Maddie. Your child searched restricted topics. Your child searched for teaching crabs how to read, which is considered forbidden knowledge under your current parental control settings. Detailed report, sincerely, the Kaspersky team. Parental control are an important element of the new life, the new life with technology and with the whole family starting very young on these devices and everything. But teaching crabs how to read, I don't see why you would block your children from seeking that information. There was an interview made with the QAnon shaman from inside jail. He seems like a very decent individual. And these women who are interviewing him are like, do you realize the gravity of what you have done? And he's like, no, I was there to honor God and honor my country.
Your actions on January 6th were an attack on this country. Do you understand that?
Where the fuck is this woman coming from? It's like she's coming straight from 1980s VHS culture. What the fuck is happening here? Does she even have a webcam? Or is that being recorded straight to VHS?
Or an attack on this country. Do you understand that?
No, they did not, ma'am. My actions were not an attack on this country. That is incorrect. That is inaccurate entirely.
How would you describe them?
My actions personally?
On January 6th.
My actions on January 6th, how would I describe them? Well, I sang a song And that's a part of shamanism. It's about creating positive vibrations in a sacred chamber. I also stop people from stealing and vandalizing that sacred space, the Senate. Okay, I actually stop somebody from stealing muffins out of the break room. I also said a prayer in that sacred chamber because it was my intention to bring divinity and to bring God back into the Senate.
But Jake, legally, you were not allowed to be in what you're calling the sacred chamber.
And that is the one very serious regret that I have, was believing that when we were waved in by police officers, that it was acceptable.
Do you still believe you're a patriot?
I consider myself a lover of my country. I consider myself a believer in the Constitution. I consider myself a believer in truth and our founding principles. I consider myself a believer in God.
Well, it seems like a decent individual. The legal system is going in the wrong direction to be overly punishing this kind of guy and not overly punishing, or sometimes not punishing at all, violent criminals who go on to repeat their crimes. This is not a guy who's likely to cause trouble to society going forward. At best, he was the victim of, as a best case for the system, you could make the case that, okay, he was misled and didn't understand the illegality of what he was committing. And by the way, where's mens rea here? Mens rea was supposed to be at the heart of any criminal case. It should be always the case that the person intends to do harm, intends to do a crime of some kind. I don't see the mens rea here. Rodita says, Jeff, did you see that his defense attorney did not have access to that video and did not see it until Tucker aired it? That's what I was suspecting, that this data came later and that he didn't get proper defense. Thanks for confirming it. T.S. Apostolos says, well, Jeff, they did give him some special vegan diet, so... Well, this guy belongs outside of jail. That's my point. U.S. Special Ops wants to use deepfakes to conduct propaganda and deception campaigns. U.S. Special Operations Command wants to use deepfake videos to conduct propaganda campaigns online, according to documents reviewed by The Intercept, openly signaling its desire to use the highly controversial technology offensively. When I saw this whole coverage that CNN kept doing, deepfakes are coming, there's going to be misinformation, there was basically way too much excitement in this journalistic approach that I was like, something is weird here. They're basically cheering for the misinformation to be coming. They're cheering for deepfakes to come and mess up the story on the internet. And now I'm not surprised. Of course, they were all centrally planning. They're going to be feeding deepfakes onto the population, not to primarily, deceive people, because eventually a deepfake always gets found out. It always gets proven that it's a deepfake. But I think that what they are intending to do is to use deepfakes to fool people like me. So like journalists and free thinkers who will eventually, they will be able to discredit people like me for trusting the deepfake. So I have to watch myself. And when you guys are sending me all these poorly edited videos, and I'm like, I'm very dismissive of crappy videos and of videos that could be clipped out of context, always send me the raw material coming straight from the source, because I have to be extremely careful at not passing in fake information that eventually they are the ones seeding it. And then there's the ones who will come after me and say, oh, this show is misinformation, this show is unreliable, or this Twitter account has been sharing misinformation. Always be careful. There's an extremely high number of agents, paid agents, international agents of all kind, working to mess things up on the public space, and we must follow our journalistic and scientific processes at the extreme. Go away, says Jeff. In the future, you will be able to de-woke your Hollywood media using machine learning. Eventually, all media you consume online will be filtered through algorithms to adjust it to fit your worldview and preference. I'm keen for this reality. Yes, we had a first case of this in someone using AI to modify, what was it, the little siren, or however she's called, you know, the siren who was changed toward black, and she used to be white, and someone made her white again. You know, that may be what's happening. That may be in the future you have 10 different versions of a movie, and you want to watch the the gay version, you want to watch the the white version, the Indian version. Yeah, the Little Mermaid, that's her name. So yeah, someone generated an AI modification of it with a white Little Mermaid. Or was it white, or was it that she was made to be more beautiful? I don't remember. U.S. House of Representatives votes unanimously to declassify all intelligence related to COVID-19 origins. I don't expect big surprises here. I don't expect to be floored by what is revealed here. But one thing that will be interesting is to know just how much they have hidden from us. Because ultimately, that's the question. The lab leak issue and COVID origins, I'm pretty set on my ideas on this. But the question of how much they knew and how much they didn't want to tell and how much they were actively deceptive toward the American public, that is something that could progress here. Arizona school's chief sets up critical race theory hotline. So it's a hotline you can call if your children or if someone in your school knows about any case where they have tried to teach CRT, critical race theory, you know, concepts like white people should feel guilty and that kind of crap. There's a hotline now you can call and say inappropriate lessons that detract from teaching academic standards should be reported to this hotline. That includes topics like social and emotional learning, or that could be considered critical race theory. Fascinating that there is a political persecution of these things, because it reminds me of McCarthy. You know how in the lore, in the mythical conception of the world of leftists today, McCarthyism is a very critical moment. It's their story of oppression. The story in which McCarthy went so hard after communists, he didn't respect their First Amendment right. He didn't, you know, they think of McCarthyism as this horrible past in which injustice has been committed in America. But McCarthy probably was going after a bunch of very annoying people who couldn't give up. They wanted to push their luck up to brainwashing children, and eventually McCarthy just cracked and he said, all right, we're gonna pursue communism everywhere. We're gonna unroot it and take it out of where it is. And that's basically what's slowly happening with the America of today. The left has pushed its luck. The left has gone too far. The left have gone to racial shaming of white people, to promoting anti-reproductive beliefs, LGBT activism, all that kind of stuff. And the McCarthys of today are rising. And can't wait to see the ultimate McCarthy, you know, basically a fascistic president who must rise in response to the current social context, because I'm sure that all these state-based fights against this indoctrination of our youth will be successful locally here and there, but ultimately they will fail at the national level. And so inevitably, we may have a kind of authoritarian figure that rises out of this process. Like, let me throw something like wild here, but like a Nick Fuentes president of the US. That would be beautiful. I hope that something like this happens. Aquanaut says, McCarthyism looks tame compared to modern woke regime of cancel culture. Exactly. And so when I look at what the left becomes when you let them be, it's more horrible than anything I've been told about McCarthy. So McCarthy kept America from crumbling into the crap that we're in right now. And the reason we're in trouble is not because of McCarthy oppressing the communists. It's because we didn't oppress enough. It's because we didn't stick to McCarthyism. T.S. Apostolos says, in the U.S. school, boards are being politicized like never before, and conservatives are taking seats across little districts. Yes, and I think it's going to work here and there locally sometimes. But ultimately, what we need is a presidential figure that will just say this is the end of it across America. And people need to be pissed off enough to vote for that kind of figure. John Drake says, part of the U.S., it could easily be broken into three or more new countries this century. Yes, I think that would be a desirable outcome. Last news item before we conclude the show. Contained 2.0, Treasury Secretary Yellen says banking system is resilient. So Yellen has been appealing to calm, convene leaders from the Federal Reserve, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Secretary Yellen expressed full confidence in banking regulators to take appropriate actions in response and noted that the banking system remains resilient and regulators have effective tools to address this type of event. So I don't know to what extent that will be true. I was kind of rooting for a big crash of the system, but I'm sure they have all these tricks. And I'm sure ultimately, if someone truly has lost money in this whole thing, they will just reinvent money and they will say, hey, here's your surprise insurance. So at this point, you can just trust banks and the government will make them work if they don't work in and of themselves. So we are outside of the capitalism of success and failure, of you need to be wise with how you handle your money. You don't have to, because some insurance system is going to be invented. Worst case scenario, they're going to make it up so that you can recover. That's it for tonight. DK Shadow says, yep, heads they win, tails you lose. Yeah, exactly. So I'm the only one who has to go through actual market competition. You know, I can lose audience, I can win audience, but they can always win. That is the only thing they can do. That is it for tonight, boys. See you all tomorrow. I don't know if I have anything on schedule, but mostly I'll be working on the Bitcoin Ordinal, the message to future humans about TRP, genetic editing. My next appointment is on Sunday the 19th. I will be with the Agora Underground Quebecois guy talking in French. That is in more than a week from now, in about a week from now. I will be speaking French with my friend Mathieu from Agora Underground. He wants me to deliver a course on meta-irony. A course on this special mode of humor from our generation, in which it is said that, well, our generation, actually the generations even younger than me, the Zoomers are said to be living in meta-irony. like think of Nick Fuentes, you know, always, always, is he provocative? Is he saying the truth? Well, it's both the truth and it's provocative. And so we'll talk about meta-irony in French. That will be on Sunday the 19th. And why not use the opportunity here to schedule the Patreon hangout? Let's do the Patreon hangout. And it will be for the Patreon supporters, the backed by supporter. I love that I'm receiving support. There are already 3 supporters sending me their support on backed by. That is so nice. I'm getting in cryptocurrency the support, and it's on the Polygon blockchain, so everything is efficient. There's not huge fees and everything. So it's so good to be receiving support on backed by. And of course, the main platform that I still receive most support from, Subscribestar. Let's do the 14th. No, let's do Wednesday. Wednesday the 15th. Patreon, Subscribestar, backed by private hangout at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This will be on Wednesday the 15th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or whenever the show ends. If you want to be part of the conversation, join at the $20 level on Patreon, Subscribestar, or backed by. That is it for tonight. Bye bye. Thank you.